Hey, in the next 60 seconds, I am going to say something that is going to make you mad. All right, I'm just warning you ahead of time. It's going to make you uncomfortable. You are not going to like it. You're going to think I'm judgmental, and you're going to think, you know, just who does he think he is to make a statement like that? Your opinion of me is probably going to drop after I say this. And in fact, you might even want to get up and walk out. I'm just telling you right up front there, I'm going to make you mad. But when that happens, I'm asking you to hit the pause button for just a second. Don't react quite yet, because what I'm going to say right after I say to make you mad, when I say the second part, it's going to change your whole perspective on the first part. Okay, you're going to go from what to oh. Okay. It's going to move you from hostility to begin to understand what I'm trying to get at. And there's going to be a shift, and you're going to move from this guy's against me to seeing that this guy wants what is absolutely best for you. All right? All right. So kind of set it up, and you're like, okay, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? I was telling my wife this last night, and then I wasn't going to tell her what I was going to say because she's working down at Sunday school this morning. And she's like, you better tell me or else. So I did. I told her. The goal of today's message is real simple, and this isn't the part that's going to make you mad, but the goal of today's message is this, that I really, really want everybody to leave here and go invite someone to attend with you next Sunday. That's the goal. That's the goal. The goal is just simply that, is to leave here and invite someone to attend with you next Sunday. And here's where you're going to get mad, because if you don't invite someone to attend, I seriously question if you have a relationship with God. Turn to somebody, tell them, hold it together, man. Hold it together. Hold it together. You just say, well, wait a second. I've been in church a long time. Don't care. Well, you don't know my story. Doesn't matter. That if you are okay with keeping your faith to yourself, I seriously, seriously question if you even have a relationship with God. And here's the second part. Here's the second part of it. It has nothing to do with you being that bad. It has everything to do with God being that incredibly good. When you get a true understanding of just how good and how incredible God is, you can't shut up about it. When you truly understand and have that relationship with God, that God is that incredible, loves me that much, is doing this much, there is something in you that says, I just can't be quiet about that. It is too good. It is too important. It is too precious. God is that good. So turn to somebody else and say, oh, I see where he's going with this. You ever been around somebody that's dating somebody or that's in love? You ever been around them? And it's like no matter what conversation you have, somehow they have a way of like working that person into the conversation. You ever been around that? We have a friend of mine who is, I don't want to name names, but he has a beard, and I think he was singing this morning. He's dating somebody, and we were laughing here this last week because it's like no matter what we talked about, he would bring up this individual in the conversation, and we were trying to like stretch and see how far we could go to see how he could bring it up, and so we started talking about Good Friday service, which is incidentally on Friday this year, and it was amazing. He's like, well, hey, that's a wonderful service, and you may expect good things. And by the way, did I mention that so-and-so is going to be here on Friday? It's like, keep talking about him. Anybody ever been around that? Anybody remember when you used to do something like that? Yeah, it's just like, you talk about him. You keep bringing him up in conversation. Somebody had their hand up a really long time trying to get the point across here, just saying, yeah, I get it. Because it's important to me. They're important to me. I can't shut up about them. There's something about when something is so precious and so dear, we just want to talk about it. You know anybody that just loved their job a little too much? Anybody? Somebody goes, is that even possible? Loving your job too much? Well, we Starling and I knew a guy who got a job at Quick Trip, and you would think that, you know, he got the job like as a valet parker in heaven, you know, the way that he talked about it. And it was like, it was so wild because he injected Quick Trip and how great it was into everything, everything. It's like one time I was looking for my keys, and it's like, I can't find my keys. It's like, well, Quick Trip, we don't know where the keys are because we're open 24 hours a day. Thank you. Appreciate that. Trying to find my keys. We'd say, man, I'm hungry. Did I mention the Quick Trip stocks 24 different kinds of chips? And it got to a point where you're just like, just shut up already, all right? Quick Trip, Quick Trip, Quick Trip, you know? Or, you know, you'd ask what time it was, and he's like, well, did I mention that Quick Trip, according to time, we only take our coffee and we replace it every 7 minutes. And I'm going, just shut up about Quick Trip. But he was so enamored with it and so loved his job that no matter what you talked about, he had a way of bringing it up. And it must have rubbed off on us a little bit because we went there to have a baby, all right? So different story, different time. And speaking of babies, how about when somebody has a first baby or a first grandchild? Oh, let me show you the pictures. Remember when you used to carry pictures with you? Remember that? Anybody old enough? Anybody over 100 like me, you know, you just remember where you used to carry pictures, and in your wallet you carry pictures, and you know, oh, look at our new baby, you know, they'd flip out, you know, you'd show the whole thing. Now it's worse because you got your phone, whereas before you were limited to the size of your wallet or bag to the number of pictures. Now they have like their entire life story with video and sound, and let me show you this, and then this happened, and then this happened, and oh, watch this video. So here's the documentary we had made on my little grandbaby, and you're just like, oh my goodness. They don't stop talking about them. They got t-shirts printed up, you know, with you know, faces on there, bumper stickers. I love my kids, you know. Again, why? Because it's precious to them. It's important to them. And when something is precious, when something is important, when something means something to us, there's something in us, the way that God made us, we just have to share. We just have to share. When we have an experience that is good, we share it. Anybody ever share like a good restaurant that you've gone to? Yeah, man, I had a great experience. I want to share. Sometimes it's the opposite. It's a poor experience, but yet it was emotional. And it's like, man, I don't want anybody to have to go through that. Don't go there. We share shopping places. We share vacation places. We share dining places. We share all of these trivial things that mean something to us in the moment. We talk about people that are precious to us. We talk about things that are important to us. We talk about all of these things. And yet, here's the thing. We talk about the things that are meaningful and impactful and joyful and important. And we say that God is meaningful and impactful and brings joy and the most important. But when was the last time that you shared your experience of what God has done with you with someone? When was the last time that God did something so great in your life and meant so much to you that you just couldn't shut up about it? That you were like somebody in love or somebody with a new baby or somebody with a job that they absolutely adored, and you just, I got to tell somebody. This is just so good. It just seems like every conversation I'm just reminded of how great God's been. And yet we stand and we proclaim in our words that he is the most important thing and the most precious, and I love God more than anything or anyone, and God has done so much for me. He means so much to me. And yet the thing of it is does the rest of our life reflect that? We say he's the most important, but could he not really be the most important thing? And that's why I said what I said. Remember my offensive statement? That if there isn't something in you that just says, I can't help sharing what God has done, then I seriously question if you have a relationship with God. Because what we find throughout Scripture is that anytime anyone came in contact with Christ, anytime anyone had an experience where they crossed paths and recognized who was in their presence, the same thing happened after every meeting. They went and told somebody about it. They went and shared because they couldn't keep quiet, they discovered something that was so good, that was so profound, that was so life-altering, so life-changing, so wonderful, that the very next thing that they do is, I can't shut up about it. Not because, well, I'm a good Christian and you're supposed to go share your faith. No, I just can't shut up about it. Not because somebody told me to or else. No, it's just so good. I've just got to talk about it. And it started right from the beginning. I want to show you a passage in John chapter 1. Jesus is just starting his ministry. In fact, he doesn't even have any disciples. He is just going solo. It's just really the beginning of it. And look at what happens. Look at the effect of what happens when people come in contact with him. Again, the next day, John, this would be John the Baptist, stood with two of whose disciples? His disciples. These are John's disciples. Okay, this is his support. This is his, the people that follow him. These are his. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, this is what John said. He says, behold the Lamb of God. Hey, guys, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one. Look what happens. The disciples that used to be John's, the two disciples heard him speak, and they left John and began to follow Jesus. Began to follow Jesus. Okay. Now, you can think of this. I mean, this is interesting because a lot of times we try to over-spiritualize everything. But Jesus is walking by. John points out, says, there's the guy. And these two guys start following Jesus. You ever been followed by anybody? You ever been like, what? You know, you're looking back over your shoulder. You're going, it's like going to the mall or something. It's like, they go to every store we go to. What is, you know, start walking faster. What do they want? You know, you ever get, you know, go on vacation and realize that the people in the background of all of your vacation photos are the same people. It's like, oh, whoa, creepy. Well, here's the thing. The same thing happened to Jesus. This is so cool because they're following him. And look at what Jesus does. This is so cool. Then Jesus turned and seeing them follow him, he says, what do you want? What do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, this is so important, Rabbi, which is to say, teacher, teacher. Hey, Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying? Where's your house? Now, let me ask you again. Has anybody ever invited themselves over to your house? After following you for a while? That would be kind of weird. It's like, you followed me all day. Now you want to know where I live? No way, buddy. You know, back off. But here's the thing. They saw something different. They recognized something different. And they began to follow him. They began to pattern after him and said, teacher, teacher, where do you live? We want to spend some time. We want to find out more about you. There's something about you that there's an interest. There's something in our heart that is leaning in to what and who you are. Where do you live? We want to spend time with you. And look at Jesus' response. He says this. I love this. And he said to them, come and see. Come and see. And any time that there is a hunger for more of God, this is the answer that we get. We say, God, I want to know more. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him all that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. And again, their time's a little different. So this is about 4 o'clock. So they spent the whole day. They spent the whole day with Jesus. How incredible would that be? To go to Jesus' house. You say, well, we're in God's house today. I guarantee you that Jesus did not live in a church. Okay. They went to his house. They spent time with him. They talked. There was an exchange there. And in that exchange, something happens to these two individuals. Because look at the very next thing that we find. Next verse. Look what happens. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him, one of the two that heard John say, hey, behold the Lamb of God, and followed Jesus, was Andrew. This would be Simon Peter's, or the which would eventually become the apostle, the disciple, Peter's brother, older brother. But what's the effect? Look at what happens. Andrew spends time with Jesus, and look at what Andrew does next. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And look at what he does. And he brought him to Jesus. I've spent time with him. And now I've got to find somebody precious to me. I got to find somebody I know because I can't shut up about it. Because you got to, hey, bro, come here. You've got to experience this. You have got to have this experience for yourself. I found something. It changed me. I found someone. He's altered everything about me. And now I can't shut up about it. So come here, Simon, come here. This is the guy. I know you're fishing, but you got to stop. You got to come with me. I can't be quiet about it. I've had something change in my life, and I want you to experience it. Got to come and see. Now here, I want to say something, and this might make you mad as well, because look at the change that we see. Can you go back to that last verse? Can you do that? Can we go backwards? Keep going. One more. When Andrew first encounters Jesus, it's as teacher. It's as rabbi. It's as advisor. It's as coach. Somebody's got some good words to consider. After spending time with him, if we can go to the verse where we were at, look at the change here. It's no longer teacher. It's no longer rabbi. It's Messiah. It's Savior. Could it be that you feel comfortable being quiet about God in your life? Could it be that you've lost the urgency to share what God is doing because God is still at teacher status in your life? He's got good things to say. You know, he's got some stuff I should consider. But you know what? It's stuff I'm considering. You know, I don't want to go all like crazy about it, you know. But, you know, I'm taking it, and there's some things that are going to apply. There's some things that really don't apply. You see, something changes when God moves from just being somebody with some good advice to being Savior, to being the one that saved me. Saved me. I mean, it'd be the difference of the story if you know, you were walking down the street and someone said, hey, there's a pretty good restaurant around the corner. You would not get on your phone or go home and say, honey, you would not believe it. I was walking down the street and someone recommended a restaurant to me. Can you believe how wonderful that is? Like, what's wrong with you? You really hungry or something? I mean, what's going on? But I tell you this, if you were walking down the street and a big bus came that you didn't see, and somebody ran out and grabbed you and lifted you up and jumped across the street and saved your life, post it on Facebook, post it on Instagram, post it on, you know, all this thing, you know, it's like, man, you would not believe what happened. This total stranger came out and saved me. See the difference? When Jesus is just an advisor and when just a coach and some guy with good ideas, yeah, you know, maybe, possibly. When we recognize that I was headed for hell, that I had death upon my life, that there was no hope, that there was nothing that I could do, when I was wrong on so many different ways, that it was game over, it was end of story, but yet Jesus Christ came and saved me. He redeemed me. He said, everything that you've done wrong, I forgive. I forget. I'm giving you a new start, a new beginning. I'm giving you strength that you don't have. I'm giving you peace in the middle of your storm. I'm giving you all those things in your life where there's nothing you could do to get them. I am doing that for you. It changes. And when something like that happens, I can't shut up about it. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. I've got to share. Because I recognize what he's truly done in my life. My God is that good. That good. Our problem is we're failing to realize just how good God is in your life. Because some of us don't think we're that bad. Some of you didn't realize, but you just nodded in an agreement with me, just subconsciously. You don't think of that, but just saying. And we say things like this, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Got some rough edges, but I mean, come on. Can we just be honest today? Turn to somebody and just tell them, say, I hate to break it to you, but you are really, really messed up. Now, some of you that made uncomfortable, not saying it to someone, but you know, having someone say that to you, because there's something in us that is this defense mechanism that tries to paint ourselves much better than we are. And when we paint ourselves much better than we are, then what God did was, you know, it was a good thing. What God is in our life, it's a good thing. But what I pray is we really get a picture of the true depravity of what and who we really are. Because that's a reflection of just how great God is. And when I recognize how great God is, there's something in me that says, oh, I can't stop talking about it. Because he saved me. He's saving me. He's given me hope. He's given me life. That's how good God is. And Andrew saw and he says, look, I got to tell somebody. I got to get my brother. And he brought him to Jesus. And it doesn't end there. Look at how the story continues. It says, and then the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said, follow me. Now, Philip was in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And if you read and you study it all, there's a lot of writing that says that they knew each other. That Philip knew Peter and Andrew. They grew up together. It was the town where they all were. Part of the same culture. Maybe went to the same high school. I don't know. But here's the thing that we're seeing this is that it keeps growing. It keeps growing. And Philip comes into contact with the Savior and something changes in him. And look at what Philip does. He goes out and he finds somebody. Now Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we found him. The one of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets are. He's talking about the Messiah. He says, we found the one. It's not just a good guy. It's not just somebody that's got some good advice. We found the Savior. We found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, and ironically, the son of Joseph. Just incredible. And I love what Nathanael says. This is awesome. He's a real man of faith. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, wait a second here. And you know why that was? This is an interesting statement. Because all the prophecies talked about Jesus coming from Bethlehem. You don't find anything coming out of Nazareth. And he says, wait a second. You're telling me that you found something and yet, you said Nazareth? I mean, can any good thing come out of Altoona? I mean, come on. I mean Chippewa Falls? Jim Falls, Eau Claire. I mean, they're small little town. I mean, it's just kind of out of the way. He says, no, don't worry about that. I love what Philip says. He says this, and echoes the same words that Jesus used. Hey, come and see. Come and see. You got to experience it for yourself. Don't worry about all those preconceived notions. Something happened. You got to come. You got to check it out. You got to check it out. So as we look at this upcoming week, we look at Easter coming up. And I said at the beginning of this message that my challenge is you is to go and just simply say this to someone. Let me tell you what God's been doing in my life. Let me tell you something so good, so powerful, so life-changing. And the look is like, really? It's because here's the thing, as you look around, when we say that we're messed up, we really mean that we're messed up, right? Because there are stories in this building right now that there are people who have criminal pasts. Oh, somebody grabbing your purse, you know, hold them a little close. But here's the wonderful thing. But yet God changed the story. And they're standing here today and says, yeah, I can tell you about all the things I did wrong, but I'm standing here today forgiven and changed changed. I was headed one direction and I came in contact, not with just an advisor, not with just somebody with some good ideas, but with a Savior, and He changed me, and I'm going a different direction today. And I can't be quiet about it. There are people here today that their marriage was beyond hope. Beyond hope. I mean, people would look and say, there's no way that that can be redeemed. But something happened. They came in the presence of a God that says, wait a second. What looks like it's broken, watch what I begin to put together. There's hope that you don't even see. There's strength that you don't even see. And they're standing here together and sitting together and saying, wait a second. We came in contact with something different. Not just an advisory group or just someone that had some good ideas, but with a Savior that gave us hope and says, no, wait a second. Don't you dare give up. There's more. There's people here that were sick in their body or in mind and just was saying, I can't make it through. I don't know how I can deal with this situation. I don't know how I can live with this or live through this, and came in contact with a Savior, and it changed them. And they're here today saying, I've got a smile on my face. I've got joy in my heart. Even though my situation looks hopeless, and if you were to hear it, you would say, oh my goodness, how are you even getting out of the bed in the morning? And you say, I found someone, and it changed me. I found a Savior. A Savior. And I can't be quiet about it. Not because I'm that holy, or I'm that dedicated, or I'm that, you know, just do the right things. He's just that good. He's this that precious to me. What He did was so amazing. We need to recognize that God wants to be your Savior. And so we look at our life, and you know, when was the last time that you were so blown away by God that you couldn't shut up about it? When was the last time that you had an experience with God that was so powerful and life-changing that you just couldn't be quiet about it? And let me ask you this, who moved? Who changed? Did God? Or maybe us? Maybe we're missing something. And so my invitation is just come and see again. Come and see. Because God's plan for you was always to do something great. I love this next verse. It's found 2 Timothy. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, which means this, it's a special life. It's a life that He wants to use. He's got a purpose for, that He's got a calling for. Turn to somebody, tell them, God's got something great for your life. Tell them, no, God does. God's got something great for your life. Not because of anything we've done. That just sums it up right there. God has an incredible purpose for our life, incredible gift for our life, but it's not because of anything that we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. Thanks. Christ's purpose is simply stated that He came to seek and to save us that were lost. Because of His purpose, because of His grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus. I love this. Before the beginning of time. You know what that means? From the very beginning, God had great plans for you. From the very start, God had a purpose for your life. And it had nothing to do with anything you bring to the table, either good or bad. Because there are some that would say, well, I'm so good, God has to use me. No, you've missed it. Doesn't work that way. But I think there are more of us that says, I'm so bad, I don't see how God could ever do something with my life. If anybody knew my true story, if anybody knew what I've been through, if anybody knew all the stupid things that I've done and said and gone and did, just, I God may love me, but He could never use me. It's just, maybe if I could just slip into heaven, maybe God could just come to terms. Oh, you don't understand just how great God's love is for you. You need to come and see. You need to come and experience, because it is not because of anything you've done. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. all of the horrible things, all of the things, all the things that you've said and done and all of the things that you hope nobody ever finds out. God says, you know what? Not even part of the equation. The only thing that matters is this, my purpose and my grace. My grace forgives and my purpose says I came to pay the price for you. And when we begin to understand what this little passage means, something begins to explode in us and says, wait a second, you mean all of my mess and all of my past that I can have a new hope, I can have a new beginning, I can have a new start? Yeah, absolutely. You mean all of the things that I'm so ashamed of and all the things that have been weighing me down, God wants to set me free? Absolutely. You mean all those things that have held me captive for such a long time, God wants to release them? God has a calling, God's got a purpose, God wants to do something great through me? Absolutely. You mean it's for me? Yeah, for you. For you. For you. Then we begin to understand, wait a second, I have a Savior. I have a God that loves me, that forgave me, that hit the restart button on my life and said, everything you've done, I'm going to wash it away. And when we go down in baptism, God says, it's a new beginning. It's a new start. Not because of anything you've done, because it's part of my purpose and it's part of my grace. And we begin to see, you mean God forgave me of every sin? Absolutely. You're brand new. I got to tell somebody. I can't just keep that to myself. You mean all of those things that have weighted me down for such a long time, I can come to an altar and I'll say, God, do you forgive me? And every single time, God says, yes, absolutely. But God, I don't deserve it. I know you don't deserve it. It has nothing to do with you deserving it. It has to do with my purpose and my grace. I forgive you. And we get up from an altar and we feel different because we are different because something has changed. And how can we walk out and keep that to ourselves? How can we walk out and say, the most important thing and the most powerful thing that I've ever experienced happened to me? I don't want to tell anybody. When we talk about restaurants, when we talk about cars, when we talk about shopping places, when we talk about people that we love, when we talk about things and meaningless things, you know what it is? You need to renew your experience. If there's not something in you that just says, hey, you know what? It's amazing how often God comes up in conversation. If that's not your story, then something's missing. And do you know what God is saying to you today? Come and see. Come and experience it. Come and have an experience so powerful that you leave here and you say, I got to call somebody. I got to tell somebody. I got to share this because I've been reminded that I have a Savior. And when I come in contact with that, it changes everything. Everything. Not because I'm that bad or I'm that good. It's because God is that good. So my invitation today is this, and I'm closing with this. Come and see. Come and see. What have you got to lose? Well, I may come and I may leave happy. I may come and ask God to forgive me, and He may forgive me, and I all that stuff I've been wrestling with, I might leave here free. Oh, we'll pray for you. That God will give you the strength to endure such joy in your life. Lord, let them be long-suffering so that they can hold that peace. Lord, I know I'll try. Oh, come on, folks. Come on. What's it worth? What? Just think for a minute. Think about something that would change in your life that would be so life-altering, so freeing, so powerful that you would leave here and couldn't help but talk about it. What would that look like? What would that feel like? What would that be in your life? I said, God, you know, I've been wrestling with this. God, you know, I've been up against this. What would it take? You know what God said? Come and see. come and see. Come and see. Because if you've experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so we said that, the goal of this was to go and to share, but really the real goal of this message is for you to have an experience that you can't help but go and share. Whether it be coming down to an altar and saying, God, I just need you to forgive me, because that's the first step, is we ask for forgiveness. We recognize that, you know what, we're not all that, that we have sin, that we're wrong. And whether it's the first time or the 4,000th time that we start with repentance, say, God, would you forgive me? God, here I am. Here's my life. Here's my mess. Would you forgive me? And experience the forgiveness of God. Feeling God's love. Feeling, God, I forgive you. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name like they did in Scripture, man, what that is that God says, not only have I crossed off everything you've done, but I'm clean in the slate. I'm washing it clean and I'm applying my name. I'm adopting you. I'm adopting you. That you're mine. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. And it's the craziest thing, because if you're asking me to explain something logically, I can't. But talk to anybody that has had that experience, and what do they say? He's like, oh my goodness. Oh, something changed. Something changed. That's why it's so cool when people get baptized. You just look at them, and they've got this smile that is so big, they have to unhook their lips from their ears. They just go, why? Because something changed. Something changed. Something great just happened. And some people are indifferent. Some people are crying, you know, but there's like, I'm crying, but I'm happy. I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because it's just some overwhelming. Overwhelming. So recognize I got a Savior. If you've never had God fill your heart and receive the wonderful gift, it's God's gift of the Holy Ghost, where he says, man, I'm going to come and indwell and just do something supernatural to fill you. God said, it's for you. Experience it. And when that happens, I got to tell somebody. Something crazy. And again, I use this really, really bad example, but it's the only way I have to explain it. That, again, if you've ever seen like any movie that you shouldn't watch in the first place about someone being demon-possessed, and if you have watched a movie about that, then shame on you. You shouldn't have to do that. But when they do that, what happens? They like talk weird, and their head spins around a few times, and you know the words that they use change, and everything about them changes. It's like, ooh, they're demon-possessed. That's scary. Now, here's the thing. That's exactly what the Holy Ghost is. Let me finish. But on the opposite side, imagine being possessed, completely possessed, but by love and joy and peace and goodness. Imagine I've been possessed by love, and it changes the way that I talk. It changes the way that I act. It changes the way. That's what God's gift is. He says, look, I want to give you something that you have to talk about. That I've been possessed by all of the wonderful and good things, and it's changed everything. That's what God's gift is. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. He says, that's my plan. That was my purpose from the beginning. If you haven't experienced that, oh, come and see. Come and experience that. For the first time or the 5,000th time, it doesn't matter. That's what it's all about. Because when we truly recognize that we don't have an advisor or a coach or somebody with some good ideas, but we have a Savior. When we truly realize just how wonderful and great God is in our life, we can't be quiet about it. And if you're comfortable being quiet about it, then you fully haven't recognized just how great God is in your life and how great he wants to be. And the invitation says, you got to come and see. You got to come and experience it for yourself. You got to experience this. Don't miss it. Because when you see it, it changes everything. It changes everything. Let's stand.